Hello, and welcome to Nitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter. My name is Carrie, a.k.a. Autumn Breeze, and this is Episode 23, Culture Shock, Part 2. Before we get to the story, I need you guys' help. iTunes is changing the categories for podcasting, and I'm not quite sure where I fit in. I was doing a general entertainment category, and I don't see that on the new list. Of course, I've just scanned the list. Maybe it's there and I just didn't see it. But I'm going to put the list up on the website, which is autumnbreezedesigns.com. Come by and let me know what category you think I should fit into. Now to the story. We left off with me getting asked to do the statistics for the girls' basketball team. And I'm going to step back just a little bit and say, why in the world did your father move you to this small little town in the middle of nowhere? Well, my father was in the service. I've mentioned that before. He was in the service for 21 years. During his last few years in the service, he was on a special team that went to several areas of the country to fix things that went down. He was kind of a troubleshooter, where if any site was down for too much time, my father was sent in to fix it. In his travels, he went to Las Vegas, and while he was there, he met a man that he went to school with. My father went to school in a very small town in Oregon. So it was a bit of a surprise to run into an old schoolmate in Las Vegas. And they got to drinking and they got to talking. And this old schoolmate convinced my father that he should quit his job and start working for the company that he did. He was a contractor to the military, and he convinced my father that a contractor makes more money than a military person, which is true. So my father signed a contract to start a new job on October 1st. And this is important because this is the beginning of the federal fiscal year. So starting October 1st, he was supposed to have a new job with this company, and he would be living out of the small town in Nevada. So he came back and broke the news to us. We were less than ecstatic about it. And one of the things that I was somewhat annoyed about is the school that I had gone to for my junior year had closed. And since we weren't going to be moving out there until September, I would have to start in a new school, go there for a few weeks, and then transfer into yet another school. Oh well, I could live with it. I started the new school. I actually liked the new school. Had a great physics teacher. But I only went there for 3 weeks. And then we packed up all of our stuff and we drove across country. My parents drove in one car and they had the plants and the fish in the back seat in their car. My sister and I drove in another car, and we had the cat and the dog in our car. And the cat was great. He was quite used to traveling by car. In fact, he had lived in a car for a few months while we were waiting for permanent housing the last time we moved. So for him, the car trip was no big deal. And the dog, of course, like most dogs, loved it. And whenever we needed to make bathroom breaks, we'd take the dog out, and usually the cat would get down and he'd use his litter pan, and we'd scoop it out and clean it out and go on down the road. Occasionally, though, he couldn't hold it. And then we made an emergency stop to get that cleaned out as soon as possible. The cat's name was General Lee. He was a all-American short hair, totally white with gold eyes, and he had attitude that you wouldn't believe. He was about 15, 16 pounds of muscle, one of the biggest cats I've ever owned. He used to love to lay in my lap as we were driving down the road, which was fine when I was in the passenger seat. But when I was in the driver's seat, we ran into trouble because he couldn't really fit between the steering wheel and me. So instead, he would lay on the armrest and occasionally get up and lay across my shoulders, which was fine for a little while. But after 2 or 3 hours, 15 pounds on your shoulders, I would begin to slide down underneath the dashboard. So, 7 days on the road with my parents, my older sister, cat, dog, fish, plants, staying in motel rooms. We get to Vegas and we find out there is no job. The company did not get the contract with the federal government, so there was no job for my father. He had quit the military and somewhat burned some bridges there. So we were stuck in Las Vegas with no job and no idea what was going to happen next, and staying in a rather dingy motel room. By this time, I was sick and tired of my family. I was 16 years old, and if you think back about when you were 16 years old, you can imagine how much fun it is to be with your family. Well, this hotel room, or motel room, had a closet. The closet was 3 feet deep and about 10 feet wide. They stored the hide-a-bed in the closet. Well, I pulled the hide-a-bed out and stacked up some cushions from the sofa, and I slept in the closet. It was wonderful in my closet. I loved my closet. I was so disappointed when I had to leave my closet. In the evenings, while we were in Las Vegas, I would sit out on the balcony and I would watch the people go by. And I would say, drunk, stoned, working girl, pusher, oh my, that tourist is on the wrong side of town. My father was able to work something out with the company, and he got a job at a lower pay than they had promised him, but at least it was a job. And we drove into the small town, which had little to no extra housing. So we stayed in, yes, you've got it, a motel. And I started school. I already told you about my first day of school. So the second day, I get up, crack of dawn. I'm not a morning person. Gather my stuff up together and head over to school to get on a bus. I was a little surprised to find that the bus not only had the girls' basketball team, but it also had the boys' football team. A lot of people brought blankets and pillows and curled up and went to sleep. I brought my knitting. 6 hours later, we pull into another dry, dingy, small town in the middle of nowhere to play football. I used to always go to the football games when we lived in Texas. In Texas, football is a big deal. High school football is a big deal. And when I say football to my international listeners, I'm talking about the strange American football game that we play and not the football with the round ball. I know football, and I'm a pretty big fan of football. And like I said, in Texas, football is a big deal. There are huge stadiums, lighted stadiums, and the games are on Friday night, and everyone goes to the game. There are thousands and thousands of people in the stands to watch the football game. When I went to this game, I was a little taken back because this looked like the practice field for a junior high school. There were three sets of benches on each side, and they were not filled up. Of course, this was the middle of the day. Well, the guys got in their uniforms, and the girls who were cheerleaders got in their cheerleading uniforms, and they cheered, and the boys played, and we cheered them on, and I can't remember if we won or lost. But as I'm sitting there looking at them playing, I'm thinking, there's something wrong with this pitcher. And then I start counting heads. There was only 7 or 8 people on each team out there playing football. Football is played with 11 people. I turned to the person next to me and I said, there's too few people on the field. And he said, no, there isn't. I said, yes, there is. There's usually more people playing football. And she said, oh, well, we don't have enough people to play that many people. So we play a different version of football where there's fewer players. And I went, oh, well, this has got to make the strategy interesting. After the game was over, then the guys went and took a shower, and the girls who were cheerleading went and took a shower, and they changed into their basketball uniforms, and they played basketball. And the guys sat in the benches, and they cheered on the girls, and some of the guys stood up front and led cheers. They didn't wear a cheerleading outfit, though. And I kept the stats. And after the game, and again, I can't remember if we won or lost, then we all piled back onto the bus for the 6-hour trip home. So we got home about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And the girls' basketball coach was kind enough to give me a ride back to the motel, because she didn't really want me walking on the highway by myself. So she drives up, and I don't have a key, so I went into the front desk, and I asked for a key to the room, and the woman at the front desk informed me that my parents had checked out that afternoon. And no, they didn't say where they were going. To be continued. Thank you for coming by and letting me tell you a story. Please come by the website at autumnbreezedesigns.com and leave me a comment. Let me know what classification you think that Nitwit fits in. If you want to send me an email, my email address is Carrie, and that's Carry.autumnbreeze @gmail.com. I have a voicemail number, and that number is 206-666-5775. I hope you have a great day. Bye.